Wow, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Happy 4th of July on this wonderful Wednesday, 2012. I am invigorated to hear the voices of the people scattered throughout the United States of America on this wonderful Independence Day morning who would pick up a phone. It's 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, and scattered all the way through the middle throughout the time zones of the country to get on a phone call on a holiday. You know what that means if you're on this call? That means you are somebody special. That means you are somebody that's different. Folks, you know, I tell you, we've got a great message today, and I'm so excited that you've joined me and the other entrepreneurs on this call for this very special Independence Day version of the Think and Grow Rich call. I do want to welcome you. You know, I was studying a very special audio program that was done by Earl Nightingale called The Strangest Secret. And yesterday evening I was mowing the lawn and I had my headphones on and I was listening to this just most amazing audio program. Then when I came in last night, I looked on the internet and I found a PDF document and I was studying this particular piece of information. And there's one of the things that Earl Nightingale says as he's talking about the human mind and how brilliant it is and how literally we can use our minds to pretty much do, be, have anything that we want to be or have or become in life. And the question was posed, why do we not use it? Why do we, you know, why do most people not use this incredible gift? And he said something that was very profound to me, and he said this: the problem is that our mind comes as standard equipment at birth. It's free. And things that are given to us for nothing, we place little value on. Things that we pay money for, we value. The paradox is that exactly the reverse is true. Everything that's really worthwhile in life came to us free. Our minds, our souls, our bodies, our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions, our intelligence, our love of family and children and friends and country, all of these priceless possessions are free. But the things that cost us money are actually very cheap and can be replaced at any time. A good man can be completely wiped out and make another fortune. He can do that several times. Even if our home burns down, we can rebuild it. But the things we got for nothing, we can never replace. You know, and as I pondered that and I thought about how today, on this Independence Day, July 4th, 2012, where we as citizens of the United States of America celebrate the signing of a document, Declaration of Independence, that was signed 236 years ago by 56 men. This is the day we celebrate that. And I thought about how this, for most of us, this was given to us for free. And I thought about all throughout this country today on this Independence Day, 2012. There are people gathering for breakfasts and barbecues and lunches and fireworks shows. And I thought about this staggering percentage of people who will go through the motions and celebrate this 4th of July without an appreciation or even an understanding of what this day is really meant to represent and help us remember forever and celebrate. And I thought about that, and then I thought about getting on a call, getting on this call with you, with each of you, entrepreneurs, freedom lovers. And I thought to myself, you know, there's no better way that I would rather start my day than with people who have an understanding and an appreciation for freedom and a desire to learn more and appreciate more and understand more. And I thought, let me not be one of those many people who will go throughout this day without an understanding of what this document is, where it came from, and without expressing gratitude and appreciation for the incredible blessings that I enjoy in my life that were given to me free of charge by 56 men and other men and women that was started this 236 years ago. So today what I want to do on this call this morning with each of you is I want to recap a little bit about the history of where this document came from, and then I would like to use the rest of the call, if we can, to express gratitude for the blessings that we enjoy having these freedoms that were given to us that most of us, many of us, sometimes do not appreciate because they were given to us for free, as Earl Nightingale pointed out. So, this is the Think and Grow Rich call, and as I pondered the history of this momentous day, I couldn't think of a better way than to start out by sharing some of the words of Dr. Napoleon Hill from the book Think and Grow Rich as he addressed this specific day, this Declaration of Independence Day, and gave a little bit of the history behind it. So I want to cover some of that. You have heard of this famous document, but you may not have drawn from it the great lesson in personal achievement it so plainly taught. We all remember the date of this momentous decision, but few of us realize what courage that decision required. We remember our history as it was taught. We remember dates and the names of the men who fought. We remember Valley Forge and Yorktown. We remember George Washington and Lord Cornwallis. But we know little of the real forces back of these names, dates, and places. We know still less of that intangible power which ensured us freedom long before Washington's armies reached Yorktown. It is nothing short of a tragedy that the writers of history have missed entirely even the slightest reference to the irresistible power which gave birth and freedom to the nation destined to set up new standards of independence for all the peoples of the earth. I say it is a tragedy because it is the selfsame power which must be used by every individual who surmounts the difficulties of life and forces life to pay the price asked. Let us briefly review the events which gave birth to this power. The story begins with an incident in Boston, March 5, 1770. British soldiers were patrolling the streets, by their presence openly threatening the citizens. The colonists resented armed men marching in their midst. They began to express their resentment openly, hurling stones as well as epithets at the marching soldiers until the commanding officer gave orders, "Fix bayonets, charge." The battle was on. It resulted in the death and injury of many. The incident aroused such resentment that the provincial assembly, made up of prominent colonists, called a meeting for the purpose of taking definite action. Two of the members of that assembly were John Hancock and Samuel Adams. Long live their names. They spoke up courageously and declared that a move must be made to eject all British soldiers from Boston. Remember this, a decision in the minds of two men might properly be called the beginning of the freedom which we of the United States now enjoy. Remember, too, that the decision of these two men called for faith and courage because it was dangerous. Richard Henry Lee became an important factor in this story by reason of the fact that he and Samuel Adams communicated frequently by correspondence, sharing freely their fears and their hopes concerning the welfare of the people of their provinces. From this practice, Adams conceived the idea that a mutual exchange of letters between the 13 colonies might help to bring about the coordination of effort so badly needed in connection with the solution of their problems. Meanwhile, the British were not idle. They too were doing some planning and masterminding on their own account, with the advantage of having back of them money and organized soldiery. The Crown appointed Gage to supplant Hutchinson as the governor of Massachusetts. One of the new governor's first acts was to send a messenger to call on Samuel Adams for the purpose of endeavoring to stop his opposition by fear. We can best understand the spirit of what happened by quoting the conversation between Colonel Fenton, the messenger sent by Gage, and Adams. Colonel Fenton, "I have been authorized by Governor Gage to assure you, Mr. Adams, that the governor has been empowered to confer upon you such benefits as would be satisfactory." This was an endeavor to win Adams by promise of bribes. "Upon the condition that you engage to cease in your opposition to the measures of the government. It is the governor's advice to you, sir, not to incur the further displeasure of his majesty. Your conduct has been such as makes you liable to penalties of an act of Henry VIII, by which persons can be sent to England for trial by treason or misprision of treason at the discretion of a governor of a province. But by changing your political course, you will not only receive great personal advantages, but you will make your peace with the king. Samuel Adams had the choice of two decisions. He could cease his opposition and receive personal bribes, or he could continue and run the risk of being hanged. clearly the time had come when Adams was forced to reach instantly a decision which could have cost his life. The majority of men would have found it difficult to reach such a decision. The majority would have sent back an evasive reply, but not Adams. He insisted upon Colonel Fenton's word of honor that the colonel would deliver to the governor the answer exactly as Adams would give it to him. Adams answer, "Then you may tell Governor Gage that I trust I have long since made my peace with the King of Kings. No personal consideration shall induce me to abandon the righteous cause of my country. And tell Governor Gage it is the advice of Samuel Adams to him to no longer insult the feelings of an exasperated people. Comment as to the character of this man seems unnecessary. It must be obvious to all who read this astounding message that its sender possessed loyalty of the highest order. This is important. Racketeers and dishonest politicians have prostituted the honor for which such men as Adams died." When Governor Gage received Adams' caustic reply, he flew into a rage and issued a proclamation which read, "I do hereby in His Majesty's name offer and promise His most gracious pardon to all persons who shall forthwith lay down their arms and return to the duties of peaceable subjects, excepting only from the benefit of such pardon Samuel Adams and John Hancock, whose offenses are of too flagitious a nature to admit of any other consideration but that of condign punishment." Great excitement followed. Some weighed the possible consequences of such radicalism, old man fear. Some expressed grave doubt as to the wisdom of so definite a decision, in defiance of the crown. Locked in that room were two men immune to fear, blind to the possibility of failure, Hancock and Adams. Through the influence of their minds, the others were induced to agree that through the correspondence committee, arrangements should be made for a meeting of the First Continental Congress to be held in Philadelphia, September 5th, 1774. Remember this date. It is more important than the July 4th, 1776. If there had been no decision to hold a Continental Congress, there could have been no signing of the Declaration of Independence. Before the first meeting of the new Congress, another leader in a different section of the country was deep in the throes of publishing a summary view of the rights of British America. He was Thomas Jefferson of the province of Virginia, whose relationship to Lord Dunmore, representative of the crown in Virginia, was as strained as that of Hancock and Adams with their governor. Shortly after his famous summary of rights was published, Jefferson was informed that he was subject to prosecution for high treason against His Majesty's government. Inspired by the threat, one of Jefferson's colleagues, Patrick Henry, boldly spoke his mind, concluding his remarks with a sentence which shall forever remain a classic: "If this be treason, then make the most of it." It was such men as these who, without power, without authority, without military strength, without money, sat in solemn consideration of the destiny of the colonies beginning at the opening of the First Continental Congress and continuing at intervals for 2 years, until on June 7, 1776, Richard Henry Lee arose, addressed the chair, and to the startled assembly made this motion: "Gentlemen, I make the motion that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they be absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." Lee's astounding motion was discussed fervently, and at such length that he began to lose patience. Finally, after days of argument, he took the floor and declared in a clear, firm voice, "Mr. President, we have discussed this issue for days. It is the only course for us to follow. Why then, sir, do we longer delay? Why still deliberate? Let this happy day give birth to an American Republic. Let her arise, not to devastate and to conquer, but to reestablish the reign of peace and of law. The eyes of Europe are fixed upon us. She demands of us a living example of freedom that may exhibit a contrast in the felicity of the citizen to the ever-increasing tyranny." Long and hard the committee labored on a document which would mean, when accepted by the Congress, that every man who signed it would be signing his own death warrant should the colonies lose in the fight with Great Britain, which was sure to follow. The document was drawn, and on June 28th, the original draft was read before the Congress. For several days, it was discussed, altered, and made ready. On July 4th, 1776, Thomas Jefferson stood before the assembly and fearlessly read the most momentous decision ever placed upon paper. And you know, last night I read this document called the Declaration of Independence, or I started to read it. And some of the words I didn't understand, I had to look up, and some of the sentences I didn't understand. And I read this document, and I said to myself, should we read this on the call in the morning? I mean, here it is, 4th of July, we're celebrating the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And I said to myself, you know, some of these words are kind of difficult, and some of this language is kind of hard to understand. And the thought hit me, nah, we probably shouldn't read it. And then this morning I got up and I read it again, and I looked up some of the words that I didn't understand, and I read it again, and I looked up some more of the words that I didn't understand. And the more I did that, the greater appreciation I started to have for this incredible document that has brought so many free blessings to my life that I often take for granted. And I realized that the majority of the population of the United States of America will look at a document like this and start to read it and say, oh, that's too difficult to read. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to, you know, go do other things. It's not important. I'm going to, you know, go do other things in my life. Well, not us. Not us on this call. We are people who care about freedom. We are people who care. We are people who want to understand the founding of our country and where some of these great blessings came from. So this morning, what I want to do in tribute to these incredible freedoms that we all enjoy here in the United States of America, in tribute to the 56 men who put their names and staked their lives on this document, I want to read this document with you here on this July 4th, 2012. The Declaration of Independence in Congress, July 4th, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. This document was written for us, my friends. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time, after such dissolutions, to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the condition of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, peace in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they shall have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The 56 signatures on the declaration appear in the positions included. Column 1 from Georgia, Button Gwinnett, Lyman Hall, George Walton. Column 2 from North Carolina, William Hooper, Joseph Hughes, John Penn. South Carolina, Edward Rutledge, Thomas Hayward Jr., Thomas Lynch Jr., Arthur Middleton. Column 3 from Massachusetts, John Hancock. Maryland, Samuel Chase, William Paca, Thomas Stone, Charles Carroll of Carrollton. Virginia, George Wythe, Richard Henry Lee, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Harrison, Thomas Nelson Jr., Francis Lightfoot Lee, Carter Braxton. Column 4, Pennsylvania, Robert Morris, Benjamin Rush, Benjamin Franklin, John Morton, George Clymer, James Smith, George Taylor, James Wilson, George Ross. From Delaware, Caesar Rodney, George Reed, Thomas McKean. From Column 5, New York, William Floyd, Philip Livingston, Francis Lewis, Lewis Morris. From New Jersey, Richard Stockton, John Witherspoon, Francis Hopkinson, John Hart, Abraham Clark. Column 6, New Hampshire, Josiah Bartlett, William Whipple. From Massachusetts, Samuel Adams, John Adams, Robert Treat Payne, Elbridge Gerry. Rhode Island, Stephen Hopkins, William Ellery. From Connecticut, Roger Sherman, Samuel Huntington, William Williams, Oliver Walcott, and from New Hampshire, Matthew Thornton. Ladies and gentlemen, 56 men who signed their names, then pledged their lives, their fortunes, and sacred honor on a decision that was destined to create an environment of freedom, which we, on this 4th of July, 2012, have the opportunity to enjoy without molestation. Ladies and gentlemen, on this day of 4th of July, 2012, I am grateful to these men who signed their names and risked their lives, and the many other men and women since that time who have stood behind the principle of freedom so that I might enjoy freedom of speech, to get on a phone call like this on a morning like this with each of you and have the ability to share ideas. I'm grateful for the freedom of religion, where I have the opportunity to worship according to the dictates of my own conscience. I'm grateful for the freedom to buy and sell and increase in my personal worth and add value to those around me, or at least strive to add value. I am grateful for my freedom that I have to choose my means of earning a living for my family. I'm grateful for the freedom that I have to own property without molestation. I'm grateful for the freedom that I have to wake up each morning to the sounds of birds chirping rather than the sounds of guns and bombs blasting. I'm grateful for the freedom I have to pursue my happiness. And I'm grateful for the freedom that I have to hug and kiss my children each day and to tuck them into bed safely each evening. And it's my wish on this 4th of July, this morning, my friends, that all of us can cognate on the blessings that we have, that as Earl Nightingale so eloquently pointed out at the opening of this call, that many of us take for granted because they were given to us for free. And we don't often take the time to study the history and remind ourselves where these blessings came from. What I want to do now is unmute the lines, and I would love to hear your thoughts and your expressions of your love of freedom and your expressions of your gratitude for the blessings that we have living here in this great country. Give me just one moment. Star 6 to unmute your lines, my fellow freedom lovers. Come on out.
Paul.
Yes.
John Miller from Sacramento.
John, good morning.
Thank you very much for this. You know, back a long time ago, when I was in high school, we were required to study this for 2 weeks to break it down in parts instead of the whole thing. And I'd totally forgotten that until you started reading it. I really appreciate this. It's fantastic. Thank you very much.
John, my pleasure. And thank you for being here on this call this morning. Star 6, who's next?
Happy 4th of July, everybody. Happy Freedom and Independence Day.
Happy 4th of July to you. Who is that? What's your name?
Mel Cooper from Colorado.
Well, thank you for that. Good morning. So nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Paul. It's Sandy Haynes.
Good morning, Sandy Haynes. How are you today?
Good morning, Paul. I am doing fantastic. I want to thank you so much for that read this morning. A lot of passion in what you read. And I actually had the wonderful opportunity to study that again with our son, Noah, in his second grade year. We just finished third grade, but second grade, we studied all of that in the homeschool program that we were doing.
Hey, Sandy, let me stop you real
quick. We have, because of the heart and
Sandy, if you would, just you, star 6 to unmute your line. I want to make sure I'm hearing you. We're all hearing you clearly.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, so good. Thank you. Go ahead.
I was just saying that there's just a lot in heart and soul and passion in what you read. I actually had the privilege to study with our son Noah in his second grade year in our homeschool that I did. And that's the reason I chose the program I did, is because it was about God and country and what our forefathers went through and the passion and heart and soul of who they were to fight for our rights. And I was so moved in studying it with him again after all those years. You kind of forget about all of that stuff that you read when you were in elementary school and high school, but what a privilege it is to be able to remember that. And I want to thank you so much for reading all of that again, because these men stood for everything we believe in, everything we believe in, their passion, their heart, their soul, their courage, everything that they did. And I want to thank them and you for the read that you did and for reminding us of what we're celebrating today and the privileges that we share because of who these men were. And I want to say back to you and happy 4th of July to you, Paul.
Sandy, happy 4th to you. Thanks for those wonderful words, and thank you for being a parent who is teaching your children and not letting your children forget these important things and being an example to me of what I should be doing with my children today. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, this is Paul. Carolina, can you hear me?
This is...
yes, there was a gentleman first, and then I believe that was Jetty, or who was that?
It was.
Okay.
Jetty. Go ahead.
Go ahead,
hey,
sir.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you.
Hey, this is David Haynes in Raleigh, North Carolina, and just wanted to say how much I appreciate you doing that call, being an 8-year veteran in the United States Navy and actually having lost brothers in arms, you know, in the military. These guys paid the ultimate price. And so just, you know, special thanks to those guys that have paid the ultimate price, and certainly our founding fathers, and special thanks to you and Doc Fran and the leaders that are recognizing and appreciating the freedoms that a lot of us every day take for granted. And it's just so refreshing to be surrounded by a team of people that love freedom, that want freedom, that are willing to fight for freedom. And I just absolutely grateful to you, and I appreciate you doing this call today.
David Haynes, I love you, my friend, and thank you for being a freedom fighter. I just so appreciate the opportunity to be with you and appreciate those thoughts. Jetty, go ahead.
Okay, this is Jetty from Florida, and this is wonderful. This 4th of July, this is just what a mother needs, especially when her daughter is in the Air National Guard and she's not in the United States at the moment, but she is fighting for our country. And it's difficult sometimes. I have to put it in the back of my mind. She's doing a great job, and I am so proud of her. And but it's still a little difficult. But I'm so proud that you did this morning, Paul. It is so wonderful to have so many of us together, so far apart, but together on this call. And it means so much to me. And back to you now.
Jetty, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love those thoughts.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you today, young man? Happy Independence Day.
Neville, happy Independence Day, my friend. I'm doing great. So nice to hear your voice.
Right. You know something? Let me say something. The knight or brother had on a call that he did for us on the 124. He was marvelous. He was marvelous. He laid out sort of thing last Thursday night, then Monday night. That was awesome. So I want to thank him right now in case I don't get a chance to. Matter of fact, I'll email him and tell him thanks. Now, to us for today, Independence Day, because of the foundation that they laid and the effort they made at that time, we do have the freedoms today, but we have even more freedom than they did. We have the freedom now to go out and work independently or together to build ourselves financial freedom and peace and live a great life. Many of those men that we see on the signing the Declaration of Independence died in poverty, suffered a tremendous amount after they had signed that document. I didn't do American history growing up. I did it when I was in college. I came here when the college, I loved history. So that's when I studied American history as part of my minor in college. And to appreciate them and what they did, you have to look back at the time they did it in and eventually how so many of them suffered and died in obscurity, but yet they stood without fear and during that time to create this awesome, awesome society in which we live. Great going today, Paul. Awesome, awesome, awesome presentation. Much favor into it. You put energy into it. I'm glad you went and studied the word, because once you understand what the word meant, because I think a lot of it is old English, you are able to enunciate it better and take pride in it. So listen, love you, Paul, because you decide you're prepared so you could act. And you have acted, and it's appreciated. Thank you, Paul. Back to you.
Neville, I love you, my friend. Really appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Marty, should we let the lady go first?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is LaVie. Happy Independence Day. I just wanted to add that I am so grateful for every freedom that we have, the freedom to give birth as a mother, give birth to as many children as we want, and to parent the way that we choose and not by the way that someone else or under someone else's standards. I'm grateful for the ability to be able to provide for my child in whatever way I see fit for him and educate him the way that I want to. I'm grateful for this call. I'm grateful for the business that we're all a part of. And I'm grateful for family. And, you know, it's just really amazing that a lot of us walk around every day kind of ignorant, I guess, in a sense, of really how lucky and how free we really are, and how the sky's the limit when it comes to everything that's at our reach in this country. And something like this call really just brings it back to me and reminds me that we truly are blessed and we truly are lucky to really be able to do whatever our hearts desire, whatever we put our minds to. So I just wanted to say that, and I appreciate you guys so much every single day. Thanks.
Lavie, thank you so much for expressing your gratitude for, you know, just, I just feel, you know, I'm like, yes, wow, great gratitude. I love those thoughts. Thank you, Lavie. Marty, go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Happy 4th of July. You know, Paul, as you were reading that, there's a lot of documents out there that we don't know the meanings to. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with this document, but this is how I attained it. I used to buy some animation art in a place in Las Vegas, as a matter of fact, for my wife. And I bought something last Christmas for her. And a gentleman sent me a signed Pledge of Allegiance by Red Skelton. And I don't know if anybody has ever seen the Pledge of Allegiance in 1969 on the Red Skelton Hour that he has on YouTube. But I'm just going to take 2 minutes and read it. And he actually, and this is what it says. On January 14, 1969, I presented the little old man as a teacher. The time was 1923. The students had finished reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, which at the time but was 10 years old. The old sage called the children together and said, "Boys and girls, I've been listening to you recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it appears to me that it has become monotonous to you. Or could it be that you just don't know the meaning of the words? Excuse me. If I may, I would like to recite the Pledge of Allegiance and give you the definition of the words. I, meaning me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly goods and give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard old glorious symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there is respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts freedom in everybody's job. Of the United, that means we have all come together. States, individual committees that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common cause, and that's the love of country, of America, and to the Republic. A republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. A government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands one nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisibly, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, and the right to power to live one lives without threats or fear or any sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle of equality in dealing fairly with others, for all. Which means, boys and girls, it is as much as your country as it is mine. And then he adds, since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our nation, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance. Under God, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said, that's a prayer, and that would be eliminated from our schools too. And I just, I pass by it every day because it was given to me, and it just has so much meaning. And today is a day to reflect on all the leaders, what they sacrificed, all the documents they put together, and the meetings. It was for us, and all we can do is say thank you to them, be grateful for what they put through and what they did so we can have the freedoms that we have today. And I'm grateful for Paul and all the leaders in this company and everything you guys do for us. All I can do is say thank you. And that's all I wanted to say today.
Marty, you're a great man. Thank you. Powerful words. Really appreciate that share. Thank you, Marty. Star 6, who's next?
Paul Todd Young, Baltimore, Maryland.
I was hoping you were on the call, Todd Young. Good morning.
Oh, yes, I am, sir, and I'm loving every single minute of this call, and thank you, my dear friend, for putting on this most powerful call that we have ever had since, I'm sure, the day that you've ever started it, unless you did this again last 4th of July. You know, one of the things I wanted to say was, you know, what a bold move on the part of our founding forefathers. Really assimilate that to what we are doing here and being a part of this Thinking Grow Rich call and being a part of this forum and this mastermind group. You know, those men, you know, to feel so strong and confident enough to break away from the English and risk death and destruction was nothing short of extraordinary. They were driven to declare themselves free from the British crown. And these guys, they had passion for freedom and the attainment of an ideal. You know, it was, you know, a place, you know, where, you know, we could be free and equal. I mean, that was really unheard of back then. You know, and what a powerful statement. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator in certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what it is that we do here in America every day. You know, now I know there's people that scoff a bit at the statement because today we even struggle with these issues of equality. Mm-hmm. Even our founding forefathers had such these struggles. I mean, they all did up until the time that they wrote that document and even beyond. And when it came to, you know, slavery, for an example, you know, just as an example, that was an incredible struggle. You know, study the history, and, you know, everybody will see that it's been a struggle of an ideal, a principle, a value against rationalized, accepted practices throughout commonplace throughout human history here in this country. And again, I assimilate it to what we are doing here in this mastermind group. The passion Americans have felt for principles written in our founding documents drove us to a civil war. Look at what we're being driven to here in this country right now. One of the bloodiest wars, which was the Civil War, in our American history. Our fundamental belief in freedom and the equality of people will continue to move this great nation towards the ideals expressed in this great document, the Declaration of Independence. God bless the United States military, first and foremost, throughout history and now and in the future, for they are who protect us.
Yeah.
And that military is derived of American citizens. God bless the men and women who have died for this country in our United States military. God bless America, and first and foremost, God bless the practitioners of this Think and Grow Rich group who are doing the same thing as our founding forefathers and the military that has existed throughout time and currently. Paul, back to you.
Todd, I love you, my friend. Really appreciate those moving and inspiring words. Wow. God bless you. Star 6, who's next?
Paul?
Yes, good morning.
This is Dolores up in Maine.
Hi, Dolores.
I want to thank you for doing these calls, and I was hoping you'd be on today. And this has been a very inspirational morning. I am thankful that I had a foster father who taught me the American history and instilled in me a love for the history, and that I have had family members in every war that's gone on in this country fighting for our freedom, and I'm very thankful and blessed that I've had those. And I'm thankful and blessed that I have this company to be associated with, because it is such a freedom-loving company, and it thinks so much of its people. Thank you for being there.
Dolores, thank you for those expressions of gratitude and appreciation. Really appreciate you. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning. This is Liz.
Liz, good morning.
Thank you so much for reading this. I'm expressing the same gratitude that every other person who's been listening has felt. Just hearing all of this reminded me of a time that I was fortunate enough to visit Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And if you haven't been there, I encourage you to go. And if you have, I know that you probably felt the same way I did. And when you're standing in that room where they were hashing over this document and ultimately, you know, hammered out the contents of it, you truly feel like you were in the presence of something not just great, but unlike anything else in the entire world. And you read that first line that Todd just read for us, and you think back in 1776, who created a place where, with life and liberty, you were free to pursue your own individual happiness, like a concept that didn't exist anywhere else, and that it was self-evident, the equalness that we all share, and it wasn't endowed to us by other men, but endowed to us by God. It is truly amazing. Just ponder that today as you're spending your time with your friends and your family, or even if you are alone, think about how we are free to pursue our happiness however we see fit because of the life and liberty and sacrifices that so many people have made that have come before us. It just really, it's hitting me deeply this morning, and I want to thank you so much and everyone else for your comments this morning. Thank you, and happy 4th of July.
Liz, happy 4th of July. You just gave me chills. I appreciate those comments. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Bill Wins.
Good morning, Paul.
Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
See, Bill Winch was first. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was also one of those people who was very fortunate enough to, having been living in Philadelphia for a while, was able to see all those the wonderful buildings, the things that took place, and the Liberty Bell, and, you know, really the symbol of freedom that we enjoy. And one comment that I want to make is, as I was looking through my emails this morning, I noticed that your email was the only one out there of all the gurus and all the people who send out messages every day, inviting people on a call to share the freedoms that we have and to take the time out of our day to do that. And I want to thank you so much for actually taking that time and not just, you know, blowing off the holiday. Say it's a holiday, everybody go out, enjoy yourself, and have a picnic. But let's appreciate the values and the freedoms that we have. Thank you, Paul, and all the people on this call. Have a good day.
Thank you, Bill Winch. Love you, my friend. Who's next? There was a gentleman coming out there with Bill.
Hey, guys. This is John Chapman. First of all, let me just say I salute everyone here from the bottom of my heart to get up in the morning in your pursuit of freedom, of happiness, of liberty. The spirit of connectivity, the spirit of this country's, of our country's founding fathers permeates each and every call. If we all go throughout our day with, you know, I challenge everyone here. I challenge everyone here. Anyone who's involved in social media, I challenge each and every one of you to find a copy of the Declaration and actually post it to your wall along with the recorded call information for today's call, because I guarantee you, there's about 95% of the folks out there who have never taken the time to actually read the Declaration of Independence. Now, in hearing those words, in hearing the power, the magic, the glory, and the majesty behind those, if you incorporate that into yourself, into an inner level, into that spirit of servanthood, knowing full well that what we do within the home-based business industry is of benefit, is of value, we bring freedom. We are freedom's heralds. People are out there stuck. They're stuck in a JOB. They're stuck in a life that is so much less than what it could be. And I just want to thank each and every one of you that get up and are on these calls day in and day out, because you're fighting for freedom, you're promoting freedom, and God bless us, God bless the USA.
Stirring, Mr. John Chapman, stirring. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, sir. Friends and everybody.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, my friend. You know how I know this call was on? I just got on it with a post that I saw Todd Young put on. I love listening to Paul reading. I didn't know the call was on. Happy Independence Day, my friends. I didn't know what the call was about, and so right back to you.
Thank you, Rick. Okay.
Happy Independence to everyone on the call.
You too, Rick. Thanks for popping in here. Yes,
Paul,
who's that?
Paul Denise here from San Diego.
Let's see. There was a gentleman's voice and then Denise. And if you're not speaking, please press *6 to mute your line, if you would, please, so that we can keep the lines clean. Who was the gentleman there right before Denise?
This is Jack.
Hey, Jack. Good morning.
Morning. Real quick, I just started with Marty and talked with Todd and Marty, and I'm basically declaring my independence from the JLB life with this business, and I'm just thankful for you, Paul, that Doc Fran, or that you took Doc Fran's advice, and I see why he wanted you in here, because you're a very inspirational speaker. So happy Independence Day for everybody, and enjoy this freedom with your family. Thank you.
Jack, that is beautiful. You're declaring your independence, something we could all do today to commemorate the things we're talking about. Thank you, Jack. Denise, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, Paul. How are you? And thank you so much for doing this call. It's very refreshing, and you're right. We just forget that people think it's another holiday, but it's not. It's our independence. But I have to tell you, my maiden name is Hancock. And I am directly related to John Hancock. My forefathers came from England back in the 1400s. And my grandfather came over in the late 1800s into Massachusetts. And my dad really did something as a young child, and now I look at it as an adult, but he really installed in me the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. And, I think our fathers from years ago really, install those things in us. And, my dad, he fought in the wars and, he flew airplanes and he spent, 33 years in the Air Force. And, I'm just sitting here gleaming over your call, and it brings tears to my eyes. My father's not with me any longer, but it just brings tears to my eyes knowing that what my dad did for me as a child, and here I'm an adult. But I did take my kids to Washington and to the Gettysburg Address and to Philadelphia when they were in middle school, and took them on that bus tour for a week. And I'll tell you, if anybody can do that as a vacation, it is the most profound thing ever that I did for my kids. And we did scrapbooks on it, and I have all three of their scrapbooks. Someday they'll get them when they're, put them away. But it was just so neat. And when we went into the House of Representatives to see all those men that signed that Declaration of Independence, you can see all of them in there in statues going around. So they are there. So it's something that's been there for centuries. And I just want to thank those men for, creating what they did for all of us here today. And as many as it was, over 236 years ago. It's not something I think we should take lightly, like you said, going out and just having a barbecue and a party today. Thank you, Paul.
Denise, thank you. Love those words. I'm grateful for your father and your ancestors. Wow, John Hancock. That is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Love it.
And my dad, he's gone now, but and he would have been 97 years old, but he did the whole genealogy for my whole family and made, we have binders that are like 5-inch thick binders. Each of us, all of our kids do in our family, and he created all of that for us.
Wow.
That was his legacy that he left behind.
That is amazing. What a great example.
Thanks.
*6, anyone else here?
Paul, this is Lori Dixon, Annapolis, Maryland. I have to follow that one because I'm married to a John Hancock Dixon who's also related to the original John Hancock. And I just want to say thank you for inviting me to this call. It's been an absolute joy to listen to everybody. And if there is a recorded call, I would be happy to post this on my Facebook. What's the number for the recorded call?
It's the same number as the one you dialed into, with the exception that the last four digits are 0990.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is that Doc Fran there?
That was, and I have been absolutely proud and speechless of this entire call. It was so moving and so appropriate, and I'm just so impressed, Paul, at your leadership and your understanding. And you know, it's so true. We do take so many things for granted, like the abundance of the air that we all breathe. We just assume that it's there, and because all of us have been blessed to grow up in a land of freedom, we tend to take those freedoms for granted as well. And so it was such a breath of fresh air. And one of the criteria that I use for people that are in my inner circle of friends and trusted confidence is, who would I want in a foxhole with me? And I'm so moved and so delighted and so pleased and so grateful that I have an entire call of people that are in this foxhole with me, and the security and strength of that knowledge is overwhelming. And I have no doubt that had you been alive in 1774 and 5, that, Paul, you would have been one of the people that stood up, planted your flag, staked your life, your reputation, and your riches on the principles that we hold so dear. Back to you.
Wow, Doc Fran, thank you for that most wonderful compliment and those most wonderful words. And I love how you literally just explained in the most understandable terms the feeling that we have on this call for one another, that we would feel comfortable, safe, supported in a foxhole with one another. I love that, Doc, and I do feel that way, and I know that many of you, if not all of you on this call, feel that way about each other. We give each other hope. We give each other strength. We remind each other that there are great people in the world who still care about freedom, who still care about the founding of this country, who still value the freedom that we have and are willing to, on a daily basis, do all that which is within our power to honor those freedoms and move forth and develop ourselves and take action and grow as entrepreneurs and grow as citizens and grow as husbands and fathers. I love that. And I love you. And thank you for sharing this bit of the 4th of July morning with all of us. All of you who've spoken, thank you for your stirring words. Gosh, I'm just reinvigorated and inspired by each of you. For those of you that didn't speak, thank you for being here and partaking of the knowledge and the wisdom that was shared on this call. I'm going to take John Chapman's suggestion. This is one simple thing we can do this morning to show our gratitude for the many men and women who have sacrificed so much, their lives not accepted. Take a copy of the Declaration of Independence, post it on Facebook, and put the recording number for this call, which is 712-432-0990, 712-432-0990, access code 565-762, pound. I love you. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence. Savor the day. Let's take this day and be present and be grateful for all of these most wonderful blessings that we have talked about on this call. Make it a great day, my friends, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.